is Dr. Susan Rutherford. I was introduced rather indirectly to CMDA when I was doing my fellowship in Los Angeles. I was invited to join a long ski weekend at Mammoth Mountain, California, and it turned out to be a gathering of about 15 to 20 CMDA singles. That led to regularly attending the annual CMDA Singles Winter Conference in Colorado. Out of that singles group, I count a number of my dearest friends in all the world, though we are scattered all across the country. The conference is gone, but a small number of us still try to gather each year. Some of us are getting close to the ski for free age. As we have learned during COVID, isolation is not healthy. As singles, we don't have a natural fit with the couples and family orientation of many churches. As doctors, our education, income, and interests often are barriers to sharing intimately in life experiences. As Christians, we struggle to avoid moral conflict and sometimes even hostility from colleagues. And that can be even if the nurses and patients adore us. In CMDA, I found that I am welcomed and included among my married colleagues as well as the singles. We all seem to share the rich passion for all of life in God's diverse world. People, nature, arts, athletics, adventure, everything and anything. I'm stimulated to grow spiritually and intellectually. Think John Patrick. To the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, my faith is more certain, and I am braver, stronger, wiser, kinder, and more loving because of rubbing shoulders with all the other people who are part of the CMDA family. Thank you.
You're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and it is that time of year in hospitals and other healthcare facilities all across our country when the big transition takes place. Final year residents in training are graduating and either starting fellowships or their practices, while the incoming class of new residents, sometimes referred to as PGY1s or interns as we used to be called, they're moving into their first jobs as real doctors. I can still remember my own excitement that first week of July, mixed with a fair bit of nervousness, as I anticipated my first on-call code and resuscitation in the middle of the night as a surgery intern more than a few years ago. With the beginning of a new training year about to officially begin, I thought I would put an experienced faculty mentor and graduating medical student mentee pair on the program this week to talk about preparing trainees for the next stage of their professional journey. Victor Shao is a recent MD graduate from the University of Southern California. He has a passion for global health as well as working with medically underserved communities. During medical school, Victor spent a year in Taiwan studying the social determinants of health among teenage boys in the foster care and juvenile justice systems in Taiwan. In a week, he will be starting his own pediatrics residency at the University of Washington, Alaska track. Now, joining Victor is Dr. Clifford Lau, a family physician who trained in Memphis, Tennessee. He formerly served as the medical director of a church-based free clinic for the homeless of San Francisco, and now he's employed by the San Francisco Department of Public Health. Clifford's greatest ambition, he tells us, is taken from Paul's admonition to the church in Thessalonica to lead a quiet life. But I think you're going to hear from Dr. Cliff today that leading a quiet life does not mean being disengaged from helping the next generation of Christians who want to become doctors who please God in the way they do patient care. Let's listen in. I'd like you both to introduce yourselves and explain how you are involved. Have you been involved and continue to be involved in CMDA activities, as well as any sorts of ministry activities as physicians, almost physician, in Christ's name? And so, Dr. Lau, why don't you go first? What you doing right now?
Hi, I'm Clifford Lau, my family doctor in San Francisco. I finished residency in 2015. I grew up in church, but the Holy Spirit didn't really break through in my life till late college. And so I've been walking about 15-ish years now with the Lord. And just kind of in the beginning, he led me down this path through just like, I mean, there was a CMDA meeting in medical school. I did some rotations in medical school and residency at faith-based clinics. And after residency, my first job was at a faith-based clinic in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco. It was called the City Impact Health and Wellness Center. It was a free clinic for the homeless and marginally housed in San Francisco. So I actually served there for about 3 years. And currently I'm working for the Department of Public Health in San Francisco. I continue to be involved in some mentorship and fellowship activities through graduate student ministries here at UCSF and also through CCHF, and just interested to see what the Lord does next.
So I'm curious, I know probably a lot of our listeners would want to know, someone who's practicing in the heart of San Francisco, you run into a lot of believers in healthcare or not? Are they few and far between, or are they far more than we would anticipate?
There is a lot, actually. And, you know, I've been so thankful. I think, you know, my first job out of residency was at this faith-based clinic. And so, you know, it was a small crew. I mean, I was the only staff doctor, and we had a staff nurse and a staff medical assistant. And then we just had a bunch of volunteers. So you would see like these, just like people coming from all corners of the Bay Area that would kind of spend their time, doctors, nurses, and pre-meds and pre-nursing. And we'd even host community rotations for nursing schools and things like that. So it was cool to get kind of a flavor of just the diversity of Christian faith within the Bay Area. But also even in my other jobs, so I moonlighted at other jobs as well to kind of make ends meet. And even here at my current job at the county, I come across different Christians doing everything from what you might consider ordinary to spectacular things within those roles. So I would say there's actually quite a bit that's kind of maybe under the surface.
Well, Victor, tell us a little bit about yourself and about how you cross paths with Dr. Lau.
So I'm Victor Xiao. I'm a fourth-year medical student at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. I'm going to be starting my pediatrics residency in June at the University of Washington, Alaska track. And in terms of how I met Dr. Lau or Cliff, in the end of my second year, I would say I was having a lot of challenges, I guess, in terms of seeing how all the things I was studying for step one and just in my courses was connecting with why I came into medicine, which was, I think, to provide holistic care to my patients. And so at that time, I was just really struggling, I think, to learn the material because there didn't seem to be a purpose for that. So at that time, I decided to reach out to CCHF. I was at a clinic at that time called LA Christian Health Center, and my mentors really recommended that I reach out to the resources at CMDA and CCHF. And as I reached out to both organizations and the websites, I got connected to Cliff through kind of the student resources that were available online. And we just started with a text, just, you know, introducing ourselves to each other. And, you know, 3 years later, we're still in touch by phone, by text, and then have been able to meet up in person too.
So Dr. Lau was like a lifeline for you. And so Cliff, how many students, if I can use, are you juggling in terms of helping along their path the way that you helped Victor?
There's been a number over the years and kind of at, I guess, varying like frequencies as well. Because kind of early on, for example, like Victor and I would talk pretty regularly. And then over time, it kind of spreads out a little bit as kind of, you know, he grows in his anchoring in the Lord and needs a little bit less support in this area or that area. Yeah, so there's kind of different times for different seasons, but sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes nine. So it really varies. So that's kind of exciting thing.
So, Victor, would you say that a number of your classmates have reached out and actively sought out a mentor like you've been blessed with in Dr. Lau? And if so, have they been successful as you have been?
I think mentorship is something that we talk a lot about in medical school. In terms of Christian mentors, though, I think there's a wide variety. I think we're always, as medical students, looking for mentors to advise and guide us in the medical field. But I think it really varies. I think there are some of my classmates who have really sought out mentors, whether it be like our campus ministers or people in their church. But I think what I'm really thankful for with Cliff and for some of my classmates who have been able to do the same is to have someone who's not only speaks into the medicine aspect of our lives, but also the spiritual aspects. And having someone who I can talk to for both has been incredibly helpful. And I think for my classmates who have been able to find similar mentors, it's also been great for them.
So maybe what have been some topics that have been pretty common for you to talk about during these conversations that have occurred over the last couple of years?
I think for me, and what I'm really most thankful for, is that we don't really have any set, like, pre-decided topics or books or anything that we've really worked through. One of the things that I'm most thankful for in my relationship with Cliff is that he's just, I think, really sought to understand and see me for who I am and in the ways that I think about things or do things. And so our conversation topics have really just been whatever I'm going through in that period of life, in that, you know, in that given year or on that given rotation, and the questions I'm thinking about, whether it be, you know, challenges I'm meeting in the hospital, whether it be with colleagues or with patients, or thinking about, you know, where I want to go for residency and how God might be working through that. And so I think it really just changes with the seasons that I'm in, with, I think, the end goal being to help me become a follower of Christ and continue to grow my relationship with God, as opposed to necessarily answering a specific question, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And, you know, you were explaining earlier that you got to the end of the second year and things started getting, sounded like they were getting really tough. And that's when you reached out to Dr. Lau. What would precipitate a conversation? Was it scheduled? I'd like our listeners just to kind of hear how this relationship worked. Was it basically Victor that you would reach out and Cliff, you would leave it up to him on when he needed to talk and when you guys needed to get together? Or was it something more regular and programmed?
I think it was pretty organic. I mean, we got connected by the student programming director at CCHF. And I forget, like Victor said, maybe somebody texted somebody and then we had a phone call. And then I think, you know, really God just took it from there. One of the things in my own experiences was that I've had a number of people that I really looked up to along my healthcare and spiritual journey. And the theme with that is that they really just kind of cared for who I am in Christ rather than what I could do with my skills or even what I could do for God or for the kingdom. They just cared about who I was as a Christian. And so I kind of, like with Victor, I think I can't really remember but exactly how it went. But generally speaking, I try not to give much advice. I just ask a lot of questions and try to do some listening. And then, you know, try not to, like sometimes he wants an answer, but I try not to give it to him. And I just try to ask questions that would point him to Jesus. Because in the end, right, it's like, yeah, I'm a little bit farther along my training. I have more experience medically, but I don't really need to worry about making him into a better doctor. Like, if he can be a better Christian in a sense, or a more rooted Christian, or more like Jesus, he'll just naturally become a better doctor.
Oh, wow. Amen.
So I think we probably just had we just talked, and then it was like, well, let's talk again in a week or two. And then probably that next time we were like, hey, let's talk again, you know, and just kind of how the situation dictated, and the Holy Spirit took it from there.
Yeah, at the beginning, I think we scheduled it maybe for the first like two or three calls that we had. But after that, he said, you know, I'm available if you want to chat, I'll be praying for you. And he told me, you know, I'm praying for you every week. And so if you want to chat, reach out. But if not, like, you know, I'm here for you as much as you would like to connect. But if you want to just, you know, chat for these couple of weeks, couple of months, then that's also okay too. So we kind of just took it as it came, without kind of a specific like end date or a specific schedule. But I think what was most helpful for me was just him being available. And then when I did share things that, you know, were going on, whether it be, or, you know, anything that had a specific deadline or an end date where I was working towards something, he would usually follow up around that time and saying, you know, hey, how are things going? The things we've been praying about or talking about, have you had progress, or do you feel like the Lord has been speaking to you in those situations or in your time, quiet times? And so I think, yeah, it hasn't really followed the traditional, you know, schedule or calendar that we maybe, or that in many of my other mentorship relationships we've kind of gone with, but it's worked out, you know, over the past couple of years.
So, Victor, I'd like to switch gears just a little bit and talk about this vision. And having read an application that you had submitted for a scholarship to go back to Taiwan for, sounds at least your third time to go to Taiwan, where did this vision and calling, when and how did it arise in your heart? How did God take you in this direction?
I think I've always enjoyed working with kids. And actually, before medical school, I was exploring the possibility of doing anything other than medical school, just knowing the time, the cost, the energy of medical school. So I was exploring everything else that might be a possibility. So before medical school, I spent 6 months in Taiwan exploring the possibility of full-time vocational ministry. At the time, I was teaching English in a local elementary school and also helping with the church plant there. But in the evenings after I finished teaching and when I didn't have activities or engagements or, you know, responsibilities with my church planning team, I began looking for opportunities to be involved in the community. And so at that time, I had the opportunity to get connected with a group home in Taiwan that works with kids in the foster care and the juvenile justice systems. And just in that first couple of times that I was there, I just really fell in love with working with these boys. I think they're so open and so real and ask the really hard questions that get me excited about real questions and real life. And that's what I really enjoyed. And so I kept on going back for the last 2 months of my time in Taiwan and eventually came back to medical school because I felt like medical school and being in medicine would provide a platform for me to provide holistic care. Because when I was in Taiwan, I saw that there's a spiritual need, of course, in the kids I taught in school, the kids I worked with at the group home, and also the people that I interacted with as we were planning this church. But I also saw that there's a huge need for physical care, emotional care, mental care, and addressing social needs as well. And so for me, in my understanding of the Bible and who God is, I think I believe that God is a God who cares about us as whole people, not just spiritually, but also physically, mentally, emotionally, socially. And so I decided to come back to medical school and thought I would kind of just wrap up all of these interests that I had and wait until, you know, after medical school, or after residency to kind of resume all of it. Or maybe I do like a global health elective here or there. But I think God had different plans. As soon as I came back, my heart, I would say, was kind of a piece of my heart was still left in Taiwan. And so I always thought back to my time there. So I eventually applied for a scholarship through our school to go back for a whole year and spent a year in Taiwan doing mentorship work at this group home and also research on the self-perceived social determinants of health among these boys. And, you know, that year was really amazing. But even after coming back, I would say I continue to hold on to a lot of the memories I have and the things that I learned from that year. And it's really motivated me to consider what I want to do in pediatrics. So I think going back to your original question of the vision that I have, I'm hoping in the future to either work at or create, if it doesn't exist, a medical home or essentially a multidisciplinary clinic that would provide holistic care to children and youth, especially those from at-risk backgrounds, in particular those in the foster care and juvenile justice systems, just because I think there are so many needs that they have, and it would be great to have a single kind of home base place where they could feel safe and come and get all of their needs met without having to go around the city or, you know, have appointments scattered throughout a couple of weeks or a couple of months. And just being able to provide that kind of safe space for them to get all of their needs met and to care for them as kids or as youth, and also ideally even reach their families as a whole, because I think the lives of children is so impacted by the family life and the whole family and what that's like.
Dr. Lau, I'd like to come back to you and ask, how critical is actually getting together with a mentee, observing them, being a part of their lives, versus maybe a distance kind of relationship with communication, texting, social media, phone, Zoom, that kind of thing?
I guess that I would say that it's a similar feel to kind of any other relationship. Like, I mean, I think many of us have had to do, like, for example, like our Bible studies or home groups or core groups distance-wise, and it doesn't quite feel the same. But at the same time, you know, like the Holy Spirit is kind of, I don't want to say doesn't care about the technological or physical, you know, shortcomings because of COVID. So, I mean, because, you know, like Victor and I, we've been, in a sense, remotely fellowshipping since the beginning. You know, we've been, you know, he's been in LA, I've been in San Francisco, or he's been in Seattle, or he's been in Taiwan, and we would, you know, we would Google Voice or whatever it is. And so there's, yeah, it's nice. It was nice when we got dinner together, but in a sense, it doesn't matter, but in a sense, it would be really nice if we didn't have to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I would say it's kind of similar to how any of our other relationships, but the kind of the overarching, I guess the ace in the hole is the Holy Spirit, and who knows what he's doing. So,
what would you say have been, you know, a couple of blessings that God has given to you, Cliff, in the process, whether it's with Victor or with other mentees? I just want to share with our listeners, what kind of, have there been any surprises, unexpected blessings along this path of looking for someone to lend a hand to, a brother or sister in Christ, and help them along this journey of becoming a physician and beyond?
Oh my goodness, it is such a blessing to be a mentor, you know, you know, I used to think that like a mentorship, a relationship, or discipling type relationship is just like, you know, maybe the mentor kind of channeling their experiences or energy or resources towards the mentee. But I mean, I think over the years, I've really learned, and I'm continuing to learn, that it's like a mentor-mentee relationship as Christians is a three-way relationship between the mentor, mentee, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws both the mentor and the mentee closer to Jesus during it. I mean, you know, I can't even think of an example off the top of my head, but like all the time I'll be like, hey, Victor, I think you should think about this or consider this. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, maybe I should do that too. Or like, you know, the Holy Spirit uses this as a mirror, and he, and the other thing is like, you know, how they say, it's like, you don't really know your stuff until you teach it, right? And so if you're trying to help somebody along with it, you really solidify your own kind of like theological.
This is what, you know, I believe. This is what I truly believe.
Right. Like you're walking out what you think you know with somebody else. And in the end, mentorship is the foundation of it is, you know, that Victor and I are brothers in Christ. It's not even so much about the mentoring. And so in fellowship, but when the Holy Spirit is there, we grow in Christ together. And so, yeah, it's really kind of shifted my thoughts about just the whole process. And it's been a lot of fun, really. I've become more rooted in Christ myself while trying to help Victor and others be more in Christ for themselves.
Well, we've run out of time, and almost Dr. Victor Shao and Dr. Clifford Lau, thank you for joining me for this interview. And by the time this airs, Victor, you will have had, God willing, a great experience, your third in Taiwan, and blessed a number of Taiwanese young people. And Dr. Lau, God bless you, give you many more opportunities for blessing young healthcare professionals and demonstrating the love of Christ among the poor and suffering where you're serving there in San Francisco.
Thanks so much, Dr. Chubb.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation between Victor and Cliff. You know, last month I gave a talk in the weekly ICMDA Global Webinar Series on the vows of effective healthcare mentoring. And those weekly webinars can be easily accessed by going to icmda.net/webinars. And under the drop-down menu entitled Leadership, you'll find several talks from leaders within CMDA USA, including myself, Dave Stevens, Gene Rudd, Dr. Keir Thelander from PAX, and many others. In that talk on mentoring, I recommended to the global audience one of my favorite resources on mentoring, and that book is Paul's second letter to Timothy, his very last before facing his death. Those are four chapters packed with wisdom from Paul to his own spiritual son, including chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. In early 2019, a survey of nearly 1,000 of our graduate members revealed that the number one reason they choose to be CMDA members is that they believe investing in the next generation of Christians in healthcare is vital to the kingdom of God. Well, in light of my recent conversation with Victor and Cliff, I thought you should hear from Reverend Bill Reichert, who's our Vice President for Campus and Community Ministries, and he's going to briefly share how CMDA is working to be a catalyst and a resource for healthcare mentoring, especially as healthcare trainees go through the transitions that characterize our journey to become healthcare professionals. Effective mentoring in healthcare is the first of several key objectives that we determined are vital for the future of strengthening CMDA communities across our nation. Bill, take it away.
Thanks, Mike. That was a great interview and conversation. And I know we're going to hear a lot more conversations and stories like that in the future, mainly because mentoring is critical to the work, mission, and ministry of CMDA. And that's because, well, it's important to God. Lives are transformed when we're in communion with one another. God created us as embodied people. We are hardwired to be in relationship with one another. We don't thrive and flourish in isolation. We need to be in a community in which we are encouraged, challenged, supported, cared for, exhorted, yes, and even known. Over the next couple of years, don't be surprised when you hear more about mentoring from CMDA. Although mentoring isn't exactly new to CMDA, that's for sure, we are going after it with a lot more purpose and intention. Now, certainly you're going to hear more impact stories like the one we just heard. But more than just that, we are going to share with you actionable ways you, as a member of CMDA, can be involved. Now, if you're already involved in mentoring, a mentoring relationship, that is, we will help provide best practices, coaching, tools that will assist you in what you're already doing. But, you know, if there are, for whatever reason, the idea of mentoring and being mentored is new to you, we're going to help come alongside you and give you guidance, training, and provide ways for you to connect with others. So stay tuned as we're going to hear more about mentoring. But even more than that, what we're going to be doing is creating a culture of mentoring. Now, we can't go through this journey alone, and we need each other, especially during these challenging times in our culture and within medicine. And as Proverbs says, that as iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpen another. Mentoring will form and fashion us in becoming Christ-shaped, compassionate healthcare professionals so that we may bring the hope and the healing of Christ to the world.
Well, thank you, Bill Reichert, for giving us a view of what's ahead for CMDA and mentoring. Now, do you know a young person who is contemplating medicine as a career? Preparing for a Career in Medicine, A Christian's Guide to Getting Into and Surviving Medical School by Dr. Kent Shee contains both factual and practical information about life in medical school, and it's intertwined with solid theological discussion. It gives instruction on how to improve grades as well as MCAT scores, how to discern God's will about a career, how to prepare personally and spiritually for medical school, how to successfully navigate the interview process, and how to avoid the numerous pitfalls that wait to entrap them. You can order your copy at cmda.org/store or just by calling 888-230-2637, or you can click on our link in the online show notes today. I hope that you enjoy hearing each week the personal stories from our CMDA members at the beginning of each podcast. Each testimony has certainly been a great source of encouragement to me. What a great reminder of why CMDA exists, to bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world through healthcare professionals like you and like me. I don't know about you, but for me, having brothers and sisters in Christ who pray with me and speak the truth of God's word into my life over the years has been a treasured part of my association with CMDA, and even now as CEO. Well, by now I'm sure you know we are in the middle of our year-end giving campaign. Back in May, I mentioned that our ultimate final giving goal was $700,000 by June 30th. To help us with this goal, God has blessed us greatly with a few donors who provided a $250,000 matching gift. Well, I have great news to share today. Because of the generosity of so many, this past week, we were able to claim all of that matching gift. And that means we are in striking distance of our year-end target of $700,000. If you've not already given, would you join the many who have with your gift before June 30th? Your support would be of tremendous encouragement, especially as we launch our new strategic 3-year plan this summer. Thank you big time for considering your gift today. Just go to the link in our CMDA Matters show notes or go to cmda.org/give. Well, as I close, at CMDA Matters, we so appreciate our members without whose support this ministry could not exist. Our book of the month in June is by former CMDA Matters guest, Dr. Christopher West, entitled Our Bodies Tell God's Story. You can click the online link in the show notes or go to cmda.org/bookofthemonth, one word, book of the month, and for a gift of any amount to CMDA, you will receive your copy of Dr. West's latest book on the theology of the body. Thanks for joining me today for our focus on mentoring Christians in healthcare. It is very clear that mentoring matters to our members, and so it matters to CMDA more than ever, and CMDA matters. Join me next week for our featured guest, CMDA member Dr. Patricia Giebink, who straight out of her OBGYN training, worked part-time in South Dakota as an abortionist for Planned Parenthood. Dr. Giebink, in her new book, Unexpected Choice, talks about God's overwhelming forgiveness that led to her own heart transformation and the miracle of life she now celebrates and defends all across our country and the world. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.